But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
A long time ago, my grandma Ruth sold world books. I guess when speaking about the sale of bound encyclopedias, one doesn't need to say it was a long time ago, but because of her time with World Book, I was lucky enough to grow up with not only a bookshelf filled with knowledge, but also its companion series, Childcraft. Childcraft was volumes of illustrated learning, stories, and activities for children. It was using this trove of creativity that I made my first pinwheel when I was about 4 or 5 years old, cutting diagonal slits from the corners of a square and folding one half of each exposed slice, and then using a thumbtack to push the folded paper in its center into a pencil. So simple, rather imperfect, but incredibly delightful. And educational as well, watching the gentle half-folded curves catch the air and turn that force into circular motion instead of bending. The pinwheels that populate the beautiful art installation in the garage are far more sophisticated. They actually have a straw-based axle that spins on a nail. But the concept is the same. Force that would otherwise bend or blow them away is overcome and turned into motion. In the garage, the oscillation of several fans keeps the pinwheels turning, some quite often, others in lesser intervals, but the installation as a whole is delightfully kinetic. This is the inspiration for our theme of turning to hope. This series is both set in a specific moment and timeless. Right now, we sit in the awkward in-between. We are not quite out of the great difficulty of the pandemic, the uncomfortable realities that led to the racial justice tensions that came to a head this last year. Those still exist and await our efforts. The political wake of the previous presidency still rocks our country, and the century-old economic injustice has once again been laid bare before us. And this list is nowhere complete, but it serves to highlight that we still feel the gales of a difficult year. Our conversations on turning to hope are an attempt to capture and speak to this unique moment. And yet, even if we set all of that aside, somehow making it all the other things disappear, we all have our own personal struggles. We all face winds of change, gusts of grief, and blusters of baggage in our own lives. Our conversations on turning to hope are also an attempt to address the ongoing realities we all face every day. This series is both set in a specific moment and timeless. And that timeless nature offers us great resources for wisdom and encouragement. The world has never seen a year just like we have. But the world has seen years like no one has seen before. We are not unique in facing a moment that is quite unique. Our scriptures speak to such times. Early communities of faith were confronting not only internal growing pains, but also external persecution. It was a tumultuous time, and the Apostle Paul was visiting, preaching, advising, and writing for these very specific moments. The second letter to the Church of Corinth, 2 Corinthians, is one such letter. Now, one long-standing biblical resource describes the letter this way. This epistle, it has been well said, shows the individuality of the apostle more than any other. human weakness, spiritual strength, the deepest tenderness of affection, wounded healing, sternness, irony, rebuke, impassioned self-vindication, humility, and a just self-respect, zeal for the welfare of the weak and suffering, as well as for the progress of the Church of Christ and for the spiritual advancement of its members, are all displayed in turn in the course of Paul's appeal. Well said, Eaton's Bible Dictionary. There is a lot being addressed in this letter, and one of its beautiful responses to hardship is in our scripture today. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed, Paul writes. These are words of hope. The people to whom they were written may have been surprised as they felt crushed, despair, abandonment, and even destroyed. Yet here was Paul telling them that though they were pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down, there was hope. And that hope for Paul, and through his encouragement, the hope for God's people of faith in Corinth and in the world and at Highlands, that hope was that God is, was, and will be with them. In his beautiful imagery, he recognizes the toll life takes on us, describing humanity as jars of clay in all their fragility. He names that those are places, those places of brokenness and frailty, those are human places of need where God arrives to support and even repair, so that we might recognize we don't have to confront life on our own. Our scripture today reminds us that hope grows in humility. If we believe we can handle everything on our own, we will be sorely disappointed. To confront life with a belief that we are the be-all, end-all, and can manage everything independently is not to have hope. That is to have hubris. We will find ourselves crushed and destroyed if we try to carry life on our own. But with humility, recognizing our need for something more, we turn from doing it alone to inviting the strength and grace of God to be with, in, and among us. And that is where we find hope. Hope that centers on something more. Paul describes it as fixing ourselves on something eternal. I like to think about that little push pin I pressed into a pencil as a child. This little hub that holds everything together as adversity is turned into motion. That's what a pinwheel is doing, using a strong center to change difficult circumstances into being handled in a new way. We pin our hopes on grace. When we affix ourselves to God's unending love and abiding presence, we are able to turn something more in life. It sets us in motion. It invites change and adaptability while fixing ourselves on something that can hold us. That's really the difference between the childhood project I remember and those pinwheels that are turning in the garage. I wonder how long the push pins into pencils could handle the constant blowing of the fans. I wasn't even sure mine would last throughout this sermon. This morning during worship, the garage art has officially hit 1,500 hours of spinning pinwheels. 1,500 hours of confronting changing winds from multiple directions of varying strengths, and they are still turning. When Karen instructed the team of folks who made these pinwheels, she asked them to firmly affix a straw in the middle that would house a nail. She knew these pinwheels would need strong support, and together as a community, they were crafted that way. This is my hope for us, that in our time together, that in our sharing and questioning, through our relationships and service, we might be well crafted with a strong center. That we would find ourselves able to constantly turn to hope as we respond to forces that would otherwise bend or blow us over, instead letting it become the energy that turns us. For we turn together.